You are listening to Overcomers Church International Podcast. Here at OCI, we are dedicated to our vision of building strong people and building strong churches. From wherever you are listening, we hope that this message leaves you equipped and encouraged.
There's just times in your life where the cross and what Jesus did, it can just somehow get stale. It can just be like, I've heard this message so many times. I've been to so many Easter messages. And I've heard this story about Jesus so many times. And it can actually become stale. How is that possible? But I noticed it in my life in different times where it was just like, why am I not more excited about this? Nothing makes sense because the whole basis of everything that I believe in revolves around Jesus coming to this earth, dying on a cross for our sins, and then him raising from the dead. Because if he wouldn't have rose from the dead, we'd have nothing to celebrate. He'd have been just like all the other people, all the other gods that people have ever decided that they were going to worship. You know, without the resurrection, we'd have nothing. But there was a resurrection. So this week, I was like, before this, I was like asking God, you know, what do you want me to share on? But during this week especially, I decided to go through four different accounts of Jesus's crucifixion and his resurrection. So you get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you'll get in there, it'll kind of mess with you because you'll see, like, it's like people are remembering different aspects and different things that happened, and the other one's telling the story a little bit different than the other one. And it's like, how many angels really were there that showed up at the tomb at different times, you know? Because in different accounts, they give you different things that happen. One of them says when Mary came, and I think she had some others with her. One of them says she had some with her. Some said she had, you know, this was Mary Magdalene, the one that Jesus had casted seven demons out of her. This is just thinking about this. Her getting to be the first one to get to go to the tomb where Jesus was raised from the dead will mess with you. Because a lot of people judge us by our past and the things where we've been. And even they judge us because we're having struggles now or whatever, you know. They're hard on us, you know, especially if you say you're a Christian, you know. Seems like Christians are harder on us than non-believers are. They're just like, you know better. But why am I saying all this? Because, man, the truth is, Jesus really did raise from the dead. And all these different accounts just puts different twists on this, but before he raised from the dead, I got something for you, and it might offend some of you when I read it, but this is the truth, and this is what really happened. At the age of 33, Jesus was condemned to death. At the time, crucifixion was the worst death. Only the worst criminals were condemned to be crucified. And yet Jesus came as God's son to this earth, and he got the worst death. He Yet it was even more dreadful for Jesus. Unlike other criminals condemned to death by crucifixion, Jesus was to be nailed to the cross by his hands and his feet. Each nail was about 6 or 8 inches long. The nails were driven into his wrist, not into his palms as commonly portrayed in a lot of pictures, into his wrists. There's a tendon in the wrist that extends to the shoulder. The Roman guards knew that when the nails were being hammered into the wrist, that tendons would tear and break, forcing Jesus to use his back muscles to support himself so that he could breathe. Both of his feet were nailed together, thus he was forced to support himself on the single nail that impaled his feet to the cross. Jesus could not support himself with his legs because of the pain that was so he was forced to alternate between arching his back, then using his legs to continue to breathe. His legs, then using his legs just to continue to breathe. Imagine the struggle, the pain, the suffering, the courage. Jesus endured this reality for over 3 hours. Yes, over 3 hours. Can you imagine this kind of suffering? A few minutes before he died, Jesus stopped bleeding. He was simply pouring water from his wounds. From common images, we see wounds to his hands and feet, and even the spear wound to his side, but do we realize his wounds were actually made in his body? A hammer driving large nails through the wrist, the feet overlapping, and an even larger nail hammered through the arches. Then a Roman guard pierced his side with a spear, but before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped and beaten. The whipping was so severe that it tore the flesh from his body, the beating so horrific that his face was torn and his beard ripped from his face. The crown of thorns cut deeply into his scalp. Most men would not have survived even this torture. He had no more blood to bleed out, only water poured from his wounds. The human adult body contains about 3.5 liters, just less than a gallon of blood. Jesus poured all 3.5 liters out of his body. He had 3 nails hammered into his members, a crown of thorns on his head, and beyond that, a Roman soldier stabbed a spear into his chest. All these, without mentioning the humiliation he suffered after carrying his cross almost 2 kilometers while the crowd and people spat in his face and threw stones. Jesus had to endure this experience to open the gates of heaven so that you can have free access to God. So that your sins could be washed away, all of them without no exception, all of them. Please don't ignore this situation. Jesus Christ died for you. You know, he didn't have to. Everybody thinks that when they see pictures of this and everything, like, you know, he let them do this to him. At any point, he could have stopped it. You know, he could have called angels, he could have stopped it. But it was God's divine purpose that he would do this because we needed a Savior. To this point, people were trying to live by the law and no one was getting the job done. No one was able to live by the law, so they kept sacrificing animals and doing all these things to try to have their sins covered. Different ways to have their sins covered, you know. I mean, way back it started with Adam and Eve. Now, whose fault it was, Adam or Eve, I'm not going to get into that because that's still disputed all the time. I mean, they both caved, as far as I'm concerned. They both let sin come into this earth, and then from then on, sin was there. And, you know, when you read in the Bible, in Romans, you know, it says that all have sinned. All of us have sinned, and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us have. Okay, so the bad part is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So many people try to figure out a way that they're going to get to heaven when Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And that no man is going to come to the Father except through him. That's the only way. It is the only way. I don't know if you guys realize it or not, but, you know, the way the world is going nowadays, it's like they keep just adding more and more stuff to this day to try to take away from this day and make it all about another day. But we're not going to forget this day because he really did raise from the dead. You know, we have many, many accounts in the Bible that show us all the different things that happened. Can you imagine what it'd be like to walk in there thinking that you're going to take care of a body or something like that, and when you get there, that there's a stone rolled, the stone's rolled back, and there's a big angel standing there. And that alone make you freak out pretty bad. You know what I mean? I mean, I haven't saw an angel. Some people have, but I'm going to say it would probably freak me out pretty good. You know, that alone. But then as they walk in there and they look in, I mean, it's kind of like being terrified. Like, where is he? Because, you know, what happened to him? Why are you here? I mean, all these things rushing to you. I didn't even know how you would even deal with it. But the truth is, they went in there and he was gone, you know. And the angel starts talking to him, you know. Well, angel starts talking. What do you do? What do you do? You're not normally around angels, so, I mean, having an angel start talking to you and telling you that he's not there, trying to remind you of things, that he's not there. He's not there because he's risen like he said he was, you know. So let me read you some real quick accounts here. First one is in Matthew 28. So theirs might be a little different. Mine probably is. 28:5-6. So here they are. They went. This one says Mary Magdalene. And it says the other Mary went to see the tomb. Well, then down in verse, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place." As he said this, he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him." So off they go. I mean, totally freaked out. I mean, just how fast do you think they were running? Okay, so that was Matthew account. Look here in Luke 24. Luke 24. It says in verse 3, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were greatly perplexed concerning this, suddenly two men stood beside them in shining garments. That's what I'm saying. How many angels were there? Maybe there was one outside. They're looking in there. And how would you be if all of a sudden two of them show up and they're standing beside you there and you're like, so they start telling you and talking to you, you know, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And then they say the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. They're reminding them that they were told this. So let's go to Mark 16:5. This is awesome. I mean, it just gets me fired up just even thinking about what it would have been like to have been there. Mark 16:5. It says here, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white robe, and they were frightened. So this is another account. He said to them, do not be frightened. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where he was laying? Go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. You know, so off they go. So, let's look in Luke 24. I'm building a case here, if you haven't figured it out. I'm building a case here. Okay, so in Luke 24 it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came certain women with them to a tomb, bringing spices they prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were greatly perplexed concerning this, suddenly two men stood by them. Okay, so we got two men again. So two of them definitely got the same story going now. You know, I mean, can you imagine what it'd be like to try to remember what was going on that day, exactly what was happening? I mean, give me all the details. So they were afraid, and they were bowing their heads to the ground, and they spoke to him and said, remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again? Then they remembered the words. So to save a little time, they take off. And they go tell some of the disciples. So, I would love to say that they all disbelieved. But they didn't. But there was two of them, supposedly, that said, I'm going to see for myself. And the way I understand it, because I read four different places, there was two of them. One was Peter. And then it talks about the one who laid his head on Jesus' shoulder. So who was that? Was that John? Yeah. So one of them says, one of these say that John actually outran Peter getting there. It was like they were having a drag race to get there, see what was going on. So I guess, I mean, if you want to say, maybe John was a little quicker on his feet than Peter was. Now, that's just my take on it, okay? But he got there first, and he checked things out. And he gets in there, and they're not there. You know, he's not there. They see the linens in there, the clothes he was buried in and everything, and he's not there. So they end up blasting out of there, and they go to the rest of the other disciples, and they start convincing them that they've seen him, you know. Well, you know, in some of the other accounts a little later on, you know, you can tell that some of them were wanting to believe but still didn't believe. And it, also in different accounts, whenever Jesus, like there was one that said as some of the guys were traveling, that Jesus actually came up behind them. And they were all upset, and they didn't recognize him. And they were like, you know, he's basically saying, like, what's you guys' deal? Why are you so? And they're like, you know, don't you understand? Don't you understand what's happened, you know, Jesus and all this and that? And they didn't recognize him, you know, and they're all fired up, and they're still trying to figure out, you know, I'm thinking, are they not totally convinced that he rose from the dead? Are they still kind of doubting some, or what is going on? Because they're still worked up, and they got Jesus talking to them, and they don't even recognize him. And he's saying things to them, you know, and it's kind of like once he gets with the disciples and he starts speaking to them, then they all start catching on. It's him. This is real, you know. He has risen from the dead. You know, he has risen from the dead. He's here. He's here with us now. I mean, can you imagine being there after he rose from the dead? Can you imagine? I'm thinking, can you imagine just getting close to him? Like, I would think it'd be hard to function because of the power, you know, the power that just raised Jesus from the dead. So these different accounts happen, and I had to hurry through them, but I wanted to kind of let you know that different people did different things there, and different people took in the word and they heard, because there was only a certain number of them that went, so they had to listen to what the other ones had told them. But all these different accounts tell about what Jesus did, and a lot of people saw him. And the word also talks about all these crazy things that happened where these other people were raised from the dead, and all this, you know, all this and showing up on earth. I mean, it was wild times. It was wild times. I mean, I've heard of people getting raised from the dead before. Definitely, I've heard it, you know, and I've had people talk about it and see it right in front of their eyes. You know, I was just watching a video the other night. In this service, this guy was like the pastor's assistant, and he brought the pastor into the service and did all this. I just read about this the other day. He brings him into the church service, and they're having a great time. They're worshiping and all this and that. And this guy, like, all of a sudden can't breathe. Like, just, boom, hits the ground. And, you know, the pastor's worshiping. He looks over and sees him on the ground and realizes something's wrong. So he calls for one of the security guys who was actually a police officer. He comes in and checks the guy out. He can't hear any breathing. He can't hear any, no pulse, nothing going on with this guy. And, you know, right in the middle of their service, you know, this guy, he has no sign of life in him right there in the service. Now, how would you like that to happen in your service in Europe? You're getting ready to go up and preach. How are you going to do that? You know? So it was a little chaotic, and they called 911. They had people coming, all this stuff, and it's reported back to him, and the pastor goes up on the stage, and he just asked everybody there to just start interceding and praying for this guy. And I heard the guy's testimony. I mean, he got up, talked about it, you know, and shared about it. And, you know, the police officer was there. He knew the guy very good. And right in the middle of the service, while they were all praying for him, all of a sudden this guy's eyes just open back up. And then he sits up, and then he stands up. Now, at that point, I would say the service got quite turned up a few notches, wouldn't you say? You know, with that kind of power in the room, he gets checked out, and they can't even find anything wrong with him. In fact, some things that were wrong with him afterwards, they found out were like he had suffered some injuries earlier in his life, three different things, and like all three of those things had changed and were better than they were, and all this stuff happened right in their service, you know. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that's what I want to see. That's what I want, my sir. And in our services, that's what we want to see. Yeah. Okay, so I saw that during the week. I'm getting somewhere with this, okay? I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm doing really good, too. I mean, on time. That's on time. Yeah. So, here's where I'm going to go with this. Is it's awesome to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and everything he's done for us, because, you know, without that, without him raising from the dead, I mean, we wouldn't be able, I mean, why would we want him in our life? You know, why would we desire to have what he has? You know, I mean, it just made all the difference. And can you imagine the power that was demonstrated that day whenever Jesus was raised from the dead? I mean, things shook. Other things, you know, the veil of the temple tore. You know, the reason that was tore was because he had just made a way for us to be able to enter into God's presence without death, without dying. You remember, you know, wages of sin is death, you know, and we'd all sin, so there was no way in without him coming and doing what he did for us. There was no way in. Well, he had just changed the whole existence of this whole earth when this happened. I mean, he opened the door to where we could come into God's presence. You know, he made a way. He made a way where there was definitely no way. But he was a spotless lamb that died for us. And he rose in power. And then he didn't just leave us here just to struggle. Oh, that was the wrong paper. Ooh, gotta find my spot here. Cindy makes fun of my little notebooks. I think I need to upgrade, maybe. Okay, so we're going to go to Romans 6. I got to show you something. So, okay, Romans 6, 10 and 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life? We were definitely saved by his life and what he did, by his death. Furthermore, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received reconciliation. So we were reconciled. When we received Jesus into our heart, into our life, and we make him Lord and Savior of our life, then we have right standing with God. What an awesome thing. We should never, ever forget what an awesome sacrifice that was made whenever he did that. And I want you to look at Ephesians 1:19. Thank you, Jesus. It says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So it says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? You see, he doesn't just save us and leave us here. He actually gives us the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. But he comes and lives inside of us. The very Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us. Instead of us going looking for him, he came and found us, and he's decided that he'll live right on the very inside of us. How awesome of a thing is it for us to have the Spirit of the living God walking, moving on the inside of us, giving us wisdom, giving us when we're willing to listen. You know, when we're willing to listen to him, when we're willing to trust him, instead of facing all the things in life and trying to figure them out for ourselves, he gives us a way. We have this like dunamis power, this awesome power on the inside of us, flowing on the inside of us, that makes us able to pretty much take on anything that the world has to throw at us. You know, we're not here just struggling. Oh, Jesus, I'm just struggling through life with you, Jesus. I'm just struggling my way through life with you. Oh, I appreciate you, Lord, and all you did for me. I don't know where that came from. I really don't. We do that, though. We like just go through life, and we're like, we've got this. It's like the problem is we don't take time to get in here. Because when we take time to get in this word and find out what all he gave us, what all he's given us, and the authority that we have as we're on this earth, you know, if we don't know it, I mean, it's kind of like somebody who has gotten this inheritance from some family member, and they knew them, but they never knew that they had gave them anything. So they might have had millions of dollars that were given to them, but they never took the time to find out if it was a distant relative. You know, the close ones, we always are like, did you leave me anything? Okay, let's just say that somebody didn't find out that they had, and they had all this wealth, and they lived their life, their whole life, just terribly poor, and they never knew that they had all this stuff that was theirs because somebody gave it to them. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, at some point in their life, you know, if they'd have found out what a difference it had made in their life. Well, what a difference he's made in our life. And he has given us all things pertaining to life. And he has given us this very same power that raised Jesus from the dead to be inside of us like, I don't know what to say. I mean, last time I preached Perryville, I called it injected with power, you know, because he gives us all the tools that we need. We just got to dig them out. We got to find them. And when we find them, it's like a explosion, not a small explosion, but a huge explosion goes off whenever you get a new revelation of something that's yours. You know, I don't have to be walked on anymore in this area because this is mine in Christ. You know, I have tools. I have all these things, you know. I have all these things that I didn't know I had. I have all these ways to fight. I have all these ways to. It's not really you just going out there and fighting the devil like crazy. It's like the knowledge inside of you makes you like say, you can't have that. You can't have this. You can't have that. You can't have my health. You can't have my relationships, you know. And at the same time, it also makes you realize that everything in your life, the worst things in your life, all the stuff that you're going through in your life, that God has what you need to get through all that. All he wants us to do is surrender it to him. To give it over to him, because until we give it to him, he can't do anything with it. If we're just going to worry and worry and worry about everything, we're holding on to it. We're holding on to these things. We're just holding on, and we're saying, in a way, we're saying, me holding on to this, I trust myself more than I do you. But when we let it go, and we let God have things and totally surrender them over to him and trust him that he's going to take care of us and he's going to do these things, then it's like, what is that? What is that? I've got this peace that just came over the inside of me. What is that? I'm in the worst time of my life. But I just gave this over to God, and I totally gave it over to God, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's no way I should be having joy right now. But I've found joy all of a sudden. How can you have joy in the middle of a storm? In the worst storm, how can you have joy? By giving it over to him. And realizing that his power is plenty powerful enough to solve anything that you got. It's a trust thing. It's a trust thing. So, I'm telling you, that resurrection power, knowing that you got it in you, it does something to you. And if you sit there and read some scriptures for a little while, you start digging up scriptures, finding out that about this, that you can like form faith and beliefs, strong beliefs in, it just does something to you on the inside. It's like, it changes you. It'll make you into someone, a Christian, that other people are curious about. They want to know what you got. Because if you're all sour and sad and I'm just going to swim in this all the time and I'm just struggling. Who wants that? How can we be a light to the world if we're like that? But the realization, and the more you stir yourself up of that, what you got on the inside, you got this resurrection power on the inside. The more you stir this up on the inside, God just starts revealing things to you. And he is the way maker. It is true. He is the way maker. He will make a way where there is no way. Sometimes we got to dig it out and find it and just stand on it. Sometimes you got to just take the Bible, put it on the floor. You got to stand there and say, you know, I'm going to stand here. You know, no matter how many flames are thrown in my face, I'm going to stand here and trust you, God, you know. But I'm telling you, it will make you into someone that other people are attracted to. If you want to know if you're living the Christian life the right way, there should be two things happening. Watch it. I spit over there. That's pretty good. That's the first one I saw this time. Didn't hit you, did it? Okay. I got totally off on that. Where was I? Somebody remind me. Okay. One is we should be seeing people like going, what's your deal, man? What is your deal? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You should be here, and you act like you're here, and I know you're here. You know, they'll be intrigued, and they'll be asking you questions. And another thing should be happening is we should be getting plenty of opposition, because the devil hates it when a Christian gets on fire for God. Hates it because they're messing up his plans. So you're going to have opposition. So how's that work when you have opposition? You have, why would I want to live like that and have more opposition? Oh, because to be able to walk in that peace, to be able to walk in that continual joy, and to be empowered by God himself, that's what we're supposed to be doing. He energizes even our bodies. He energizes us. He heals us. He does all kinds of things. He changes our thinking. A lot of our thinking is stinking. It's bad because it's not lined up with the Word. Whatever the Word says is truth. And the truth is, He did rise from the dead, and He is alive in us.
If God is changing your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. If you would like to give or would like more information on how we are making a difference, visit overcomerschurchinternational.com.